Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Some homes carry more than memories within their walls. Sometimes they hold on to the echoes of lives that ended too soon, of stories that remain unfinished. Tonight, we step into one such house, a place where shadows linger in the periphery. Music plays for no one, and questions hang heavy in the air. This is a story about a family who inherited more than a home. It's about a daughter who couldn't ignore the whispers of the unseen and a shadowy figure that seemed to watch her from just out of sight. Is it grief manifesting as presence, or is it something far more inexplicable? And perhaps the most haunting question of all, does the spirit in this house even want to leave? There's a fine line between curiosity and obsession, between seeking answers and uncovering truths you weren't prepared to face. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, as a child I was always looking for adventure. I can remember being in second grade, sitting in a circle with my friends, swapping ghost stories in hushed voices. The thrill of the unknown was irresistible to me even then. I wanted so badly to believe in the things that go bump in the night, and yet as much as I wished for it, my own life remained untouched by the paranormal until years later. Now at 24, I find myself reflecting on those stories and on a particular house where things were different. My father and stepmother moved into the house when I was around 10. It was nothing out of the ordinary at first, a spacious home in a quiet neighborhood. My father would occasionally mention hearing odd things, a snippet of music wafting from the garage, or the sound of the back door opening and closing when no one was near. But we laughed it off. After all, houses settle, right? It wasn't until I was older that I began to understand there was something more to it. My dad told me the house had belonged to a couple, newlyweds named Scott and Kay. Scott had been tragically killed in a car accident just around the corner. He never made it home. Kay, unable to bear the memories of the life they'd just begun together, sold the house to my parents. I didn't think much of it as a child. But now, as I look back, I wonder if Scott ever truly left. When I was about 21, I went over to my dad's house for dinner. The layout of the house is open and inviting. The kitchen connects to the living room, which flows into a long hallway leading to the bedrooms. You can see almost everything from the couch where I sat, waiting for my dad and stepmom to return from the bathroom. I remember glancing down the hallway and seeing something out of the corner of my eye. It was faint, just a shadow at first. I ignored it, but then, as I stared at the television, I realized the shadow hadn't moved. It was there, in the corner of my vision, standing still. I laughed nervously, assuming it was my stepmom playing a trick on me. But when I turned to address her, no one was there. My breath caught, and for a moment I felt silly. Shadows are tricks of the light, I told myself. But the uneasy feeling lingered like eyes were on me. I decided to keep watching the movie and forget about it. When my dad came back, I said nothing. After all, what would I even say? "Hey, Dad, I think your hallway might be haunted." I didn't want to sound crazy. The more I thought about it, the more I became convinced the shadow wasn't just a shadow. It wasn't menacing, but it wasn't normal either. I wondered if it was Scott. It's strange, isn't it? To feel watched and yet not threatened. Whatever it was, It didn't seem angry or harmful. It just was. That wasn't the last time I saw something strange in that house. A year or so later, I brought a friend over for a ghost hunting session. We weren't exactly professionals. We had a voice recorder, some dowsing rods, and a crystal we'd heard could connect with spirits. It was meant to be fun, a bit of an adventure. We wandered the house, taking photos and asking questions into the air. At first, it was uneventful, dusty orbs and photos, nothing more. But when we started using the crystal, the energy in the room shifted. It swayed as we asked questions, and the answers seemed to form yes. It was Scott. Yes, he was happy we lived there, but then we asked him if he could leave. The crystal's motion stopped abruptly. When it resumed, it spelled out a single word, no. I felt my heart sink. I wasn't afraid exactly. I was sad. The thought of someone being trapped like that, it still haunts me. But why would Scott be stuck there, and why would he claim to be happy? It didn't make sense. Looking back, I wonder if my dad ever truly believed the house was just a house. He joked about the odd sounds and the fireplace doors that moved on their own, but deep down, maybe he knew more than he let on. Or maybe, like me, he chose to look the other way, hoping not to disturb whatever was watching from the shadows. After that night with the crystal, I couldn't shake the feeling that we'd stirred something up. My dad and stepmom never mentioned anything unusual, but for me, the house felt different. It was as though the air was heavier, like someone was always just behind me, just out of sight. The next time I visited, it was late in the evening. We had finished dinner, and my dad had gone to bed early, leaving me and my stepmom to chat in the living room. As we sat there, the faint sound of music began to play. At first, I thought it was coming from outside, but the melody was unmistakable. It was coming from the garage. My stepmom froze. She whispered, "Do you hear that?" I nodded, my stomach tightening. We crept toward the garage door, her hand gripping my arm. She opened it slowly, and the music stopped. The silence was deafening, like the house was holding its breath. We looked around but found nothing out of place. The radio was off. The lights were off. We shut the door quickly and went back to the living room, neither of us saying much for the rest of the night. The next morning, she dismissed it as a faulty radio signal, but I knew better. It wasn't random. It was Scott. Not long after that, I had what I can only describe as a truly unexplainable experience. I was staying the night in my old room, something I hadn't done in years. I woke up in the middle of the night to the feeling of pressure on the bed, like someone had sat down beside me. I held my breath, too afraid to move. When I finally worked up the courage to turn over, there was nothing there. But the feeling didn't leave. It was as though someone was watching me from the shadows of the room. I whispered, "Jay, Scott!" And the room seemed to grow colder. I don't know what I expected, but there was no answer, only silence and the sound of my own racing heart. The next morning, I told my dad what had happened. He didn't laugh or brush it off like I thought he would. Instead, he nodded slowly and said, "You're probably right. He's still here." My dad rarely talked about Scott after that, but I couldn't let it go. I started researching his accident, hoping to understand more. I found an article about the crash, and something stood out. Scott had been driving home that night to surprise Kay with a gift, an old record she had loved as a child. The record was never found, though the car was searched thoroughly. I told my dad about the record, and he seemed surprised. "You know," he said, "sometimes I think I hear a record player start up in the garage. It's faint, but it's there." That revelation hit me hard. I realized Scott wasn't just trapped. He was reliving that night over and over, never making it home, never finishing what he had started. It made me wonder, was he really happy we were there, or was he just lonely? Was our family the only connection he had left? The last time I visited the house, I decided to say goodbye to Scott. I went to the garage alone, heart pounding, and said, "Thank you for being kind to us. I hope you find peace." As I stood there, I felt the strangest sensation, like a hand brushing against my shoulder. It wasn't scary. It was gentle, almost comforting. When I got in my car to leave, I turned on the radio, and the first song that played was an old tune my dad often hummed, a melody I now recognized as one of Kay's favorites. I don't believe in coincidences, not anymore. I haven't been back to the house since that day, but I think about Scott often. I wonder if he's still there, watching from the shadows, listening to the faint echoes of a life cut short. Maybe he's found peace. Maybe not. Either way, he's a part of our story now, just as much as we were a part of his. And I hope, wherever he is, he knows he's not alone. Some stories leave us with more questions than answers, and this is one of them. Was Scott truly bound to the house, or was it the lingering energy of an unfinished life replaying itself like a needle stuck on a record? Could the shadowy figure and faint music be remnants of a memory caught in the walls of a home steeped in love and loss? Or perhaps the answer is psychological. Our minds, when faced with loss or mystery, have a way of filling in the gaps. The narrator's childhood fascination with ghost stories and her emotional connection to the house's history could have shaped her perceptions, heightening her sensitivity to the unexplained. Were the sounds, shadows, and sensations manifestations of her subconscious, or something more? But then, there are those moments that defy logic. The crystal's answers, the unexplained music in the garage, and that final touch on her shoulder, they suggest something beyond the rational, a presence not bound by our understanding of time and space. And if Scott is still there, what's keeping him tied to that house? Is it unfinished business? Or could it be the love he felt for Kay? A love that transcends even death. It's a hauntingly beautiful thought, isn't it? That a connection so profound could endure beyond the veil. In the end, this story isn't just about the supernatural. It's about the marks we leave behind, on places, on people, and even on the energy of the world itself. Scott's story reminds us that some endings aren't really endings at all. What do you think? Is this the tale of a man caught between two worlds, or is it simply the echoes of memory playing tricks on the mind? Either way, it's a story that lingers, much like the shadow in that hallway. And sometimes the unanswered questions are the ones that stay with us the longest.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.